Merry Christmas. I want to welcome you this morning to Eagles Way's Family Communion Christmas service. We were talking about a Christmas Eve service and doing a Christmas Eve service, and I told everybody that is at the staff that we do one every 7 years because Christmas Eve falls on Sunday every 7 years. Anyway, y'all didn't get that one. I'm going to read just a little bit of scripture to kick this off this morning. And, celebrating the season, celebrating Christ's birth, celebrating life, because that's what God did. He came to give us life and to give us that life more abundantly. But it started prior to Christ being born by John the Baptist and some things that he was to do, and Zechariah's father was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gave this prophecy. He said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies." Did y'all hear that? "We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live." I ask you to stand and let's worship him this morning. We're going to start with a few Christmas carols and then the service will continue into worship. But let's pray this morning. Thank you, Father, Lord, that we can come to your house, remember your birth, celebrate life with you and this family. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning at our worship service here, we wanted to be able to blend a little bit of the old with the new. And I can remember being a little girl going to church when our church was located on High Falls Road and walking in and it just being my mom on the piano and Miss Flannel on the organ, and that was it. And we didn't have screens. We had hymnals, and I think every once in a while Dad would use the projector and like put our lyrics up. And so we wanted to honor the old this morning, and then we'll bring out that crazy crew in the back and do some worship. So are you ready? All right. Kitty needs some sound. That's you, Jacob. We're about to go really meshing the old with the new.
Bye.
Big Joe, everybody.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared in the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Let's worship. This song says, "Heaven's reply was a baby boy."
About your sorrows, I tell you about a cure. If you told me you can fight the battle, it's a baby boy who won the war. The war was won by a baby boy. Hallelujah, we can sing it. Desperately, and a baby boy was the reply. The heaven's reply was a baby boy. Hallelujah, we can sing it. Hallelujah, heaven's ringing. Hallelujah.
Isaiah says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never, ever end." And you know, this whole series on Silent Night, we've talked about silencing our negative thinking, and Pastor Will shared about silencing the stress in our life, and Dad's going to share this morning on silencing the fears. And the way we do that is because a Savior was born who became Prince of Peace, and that peace is within you. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to work hard enough for it. All you have to do is surrender to the Prince of Peace that's within you. Amen? Let's worship.
Oh, Thank you.
Father, that every Sunday is a wonderful day to be in your house, Lord, but especially on a day like today, Lord, where we can honor a Savior who was born, honor a Savior, Lord, who would reconcile us all. Reconcile us all, Father, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your joy. Father, we thank you for your peace, Lord. We thank you, Father, Lord, that everything good comes from you. And Lord, we worship you and we thank you. We honor you this day. And everyone says, amen.
Amen. You may be seated as our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. You know, we come and we worship not because he has to have it, but because we need to give it. Coming from deep inside of us, worshiping who he is, what he's done, what he's going to continue to do. I want to say thank you to all of those that participated in the Rushton Hope Christmas meal yesterday. We had, 15 of our folks, 14 or 15 of our crew joined with several other churches and several other people that they fed and gave gifts to over 600 people yesterday in our community, which was really, really awesome. You know, the tithe and the offering, the alms is, you know, God doesn't need your money. You need to give your money because he said it's your first fruits. Bring and give that to him, and you will be blessed. He will rebuke the devourer in your name's sake, which is awesome. Let's pray and bless this. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come and we can give of our time in serving people. Lord, that we can come and we can give of our talents, whether it's playing an instrument or continental breakfast. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can give our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, and alms to you to touch people's lives, to further the kingdom of God in this area. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. How's everybody? You've got to be good after all that worship. If you're not good, you can't get good. I want to do something. I want to read something to you and then have a little video and a song that is going to really bless your heart. I told somebody if this song don't bring a tear to your eye, you need to go to the eye doctor and get your tear ducts cleaned out. But this Christmas Day, just a few days from now, 100 years ago, the German soldiers in the British Army soldiers were engaged in a battle on a battlefield. Said that with British and German forces separated only by no man's land, littered with fallen comrades, sounds of a German Christian carol suddenly drifted across the frigid air, silent night, holy night. Then during that first Christmas day in World War I, something magical happened. Soldiers who had been killing each other by the tens of thousands for months climbed out of their soggy, muddy trenches to seek a shred of humanity amid the horrors of war. Hands reached out across the narrow divide, presents were exchanged, and in Flanders Fields a century ago, a spontaneous Christmas truce briefly lifted the human spirit. On the other side of the front line, Private Henry Williamson of the London Rifle Brigade was amazed by the goodwill among his enemies. Yes, all day, Christmas Day, and as I write, marvelous it is. Few could believe their eyes, especially on this mud-caked patch of Belgium and northern France, where crimson poppies had long ago shriveled in the cold. Peace allowed for corpse to be recovered from the fields and given a proper burial. Fighting continued in many other places on the front line, but it was momentarily a peace and a war that would last for nearly four more years.
Oh, the snowflakes fell in silence over Bellwood that night. For a Christmas truce had been declared by both sides of the fight. And as we lay there in our trenches, the silence broke in two by a German soldier singing a song that we all knew. Though I did not know the language, the song was Silent Night. Then I heard my buddy whisper, all is calm and all is bright. Then the fear and doubt surrounded me, 'cause I'd die if I was wrong. But I stood up in my trench and I began to sing along. Then across the frozen battlefield, another's voice joined in, until one by one each man became a singer of the hymn. Then I thought that I was dreaming, for right there in my side stood the German soldier beneath the falling flakes of white. And he raised his hand and smiled at me as if he seemed to say, here's hoping we both live to see us find a better way. Then the devil's clock struck midnight and the skies lit up again. And the battlefield where heaven stood was blown to hell again. But for just one fleeting moment, the answer seemed so clear. Heaven's not beyond the clouds, it's just beyond the fear. No, heaven's not beyond the clouds, it's for us to find it here.
Yeah. What I want to share with you in just a brief moment this morning is, why did Jesus come? Why did God send his son to this earth? And we could quickly give an answer to that, all of us could. But I want to give you an answer, maybe it's a little different answer than we've given over the past years. I want to give an answer, maybe expand our revelation of who Christ is a little bit today. But the reason that Christ came was to bring heaven on earth. The reason that Christ came was so the end of that song could be true, that heaven's not just beyond the clouds. It's for us to find here. Now, it doesn't mean there's not a heaven that you go to when you die, but the fact of the matter is, Jesus said when you pray, pray like this: thy kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. John, the Revelator, said it like this, that he saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice crying and saying, the tabernacle of God, where he's going to live, is with men. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my children. They'll be my sons, and they'll be my daughters. And I shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more pain, no more suffering. For all the former things are going to be passed away, and behold, he said, I'm making all things brand new. And he said, now write, John, because these words are true, and these words are faithful. See, it's great to know that Jesus came to forgive us of sins. He came and did that, but that's not why he came. It's not why he came to forgive us of sins. He came to bring it to a higher level than that. See, John the Baptist got it himself. He stood at the River Jordan, and he looked up, and he saw this Lamb of God coming toward him. He saw Christ coming to be baptized. And John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not the sins of the world, the sin of the world. See, he came to deal with the thing that causes the sins to happen. He came to deal with a thing called iniquity that resides inside of man. See, what he came to do is take bad and replace it with good. See, we've talked about that a lot with the positive and negative thinking. You're 50% there when you just do away with negative thinking. You're only halfway there. You're not positive yet. You're just not negative. You're in the neutral zone. Until you be positive, then you've just only... All you have is the absence of negativity. But what you got to do is replace it with something positive. And so what Christ came to do is take your life and replace it with good stuff. He came to replace bad things with good things. He came to replace ugly things with pretty things. He came to replace poor things with prosperous things. He came to replace a dead life with a live life. Isn't that good? See, that's what happened when the Bible says, and there were shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and they were so afraid. And the angel said, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you, now listen, good tidings of great joy. See, people ask us, why do y'all just preach the good news? Well, that's because that's what Jesus said to preach. Good news brings great joy. How many know that? How many has ever had bad news bring you great joy? Bad news don't bring great joy. Good news brings great joy. Behold, I bring you good news, bring you great joy, which shall be to a certain group of people, which shall be to all people. And the Greek word for all is what? So he said, this good news of great joy shall be to all people. And suddenly there was with the heavenly host, with the angel of heavenly host, singing and praising God and saying, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You see, I've said it for the last several years, and some of you got it, but some of you hadn't got it. And I'll say it again, and it's not sacrilegious, and Jesus is not upset with me saying this. Matter of fact, he's real excited about me saying this. Jesus is not the reason for the season. You are the reason for the season. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. It's good news to you. He came for us. That's why Jesus came. Now, I end this thing with giving the religious people to pick him up, because Jesus is the reason for all the seasons. Not for this season. For all the seasons, sure, he's the reason for it. But he came for this season to give you good news, great joy, to give us peace. And you know what goodwill toward men is? His favor. Give us his favor. And goodwill is, when the Bible says love your enemies, you can't do that. Just go ahead and get this out to you where you understand it. Say, thank God, because I've been trying to love my enemies all these years. You can't. Jesus asked you to do something. If you think that you can love your enemies, you can't. This is what that meant. Don't wish them any ill will. That's all it means. Don't wish anybody any ill will. Now, how many know we can get caught up in a lot of hustle bustle at this time of year? Anybody find their joy eking out a little bit when you're trying to find a present? Or how many know it's not about presents? I'm just kidding, Dusty. I got to preach like this, but that's not my heart. But how many know it's not about presents? It's about relationships. Let me tell you how I almost just blew it the other day. I mean, really blew it. Dusty and I, coming out of Belt with Anna, and we had done a little Christmas shopping, bought a few gifts, and was coming out and was walking to our cars, and I was over here in my vehicle, and her and Anna was going to this vehicle. Well, we were kind of walking and talking and not really paying attention to what we were doing, and Anna and Dusty was blocking the driveway, parking lot. And by that time, somebody comes up behind them and honks the horn, and Dusty turns around, and I turn around, and this person just goes, like, what are you doing? Well, you got to realize it wasn't just daddy now. It's daddy and granddaddy. There's a double whammy happening to me. Smoke's starting to come out my ears, and I'm about to give somebody a little talk. Just a little talk. And then I decided, no, I'm not going to say anything. I hope it's because I'm a believer and it's not just Christmas and I have. So I'm standing there, I decided not to say anything. And so he goes up and he parks. And Dusty's getting her car. So I just stand next to my truck. Because I'll make sure he's coming by that he don't even look over that way. Because I was dealing with it the best I could. Now you ready? I look. And he's a retired minister. In Griffin, Georgia. And here's an active minister who's about to forget the reason that peace, goodwill toward men was about to go out the door. So I'm here to tell you how thankful and grateful I was to hear the Spirit of the Lord who says, shut up. I would have hated to embarrass this pastor and this pastor himself embarrassing this pastor and both of us being embarrassed. That would have been an ugly scene, to say the least. So I thank God that I heard a different voice. Now Matthew, he gives us the genealogy of Jesus. Mark really doesn't tell us anything about it. Mark just tells us that starts with John the Baptist and just talks about his baptism. Luke gives you really the Christmas story and everything that transpired and happened. And John gives us something that was so unique and so different than any of the other Gospels because he got a revelation that was a little bit different than all the others. And John said it like this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were created by Him, and without Him there was not anything made that was made. Now, to the Jew, the Word meant a word was a unit of energy charged with power. To Eastern people, a word is not merely a sound. See, I think in our Western world, sometimes a word to us is just a word. It's just a sound we hear. And it's not. A word's very powerful. Matter of fact, once a word spoken, it never stops. Sound never stops. You may not hear it, but it continues on forever. It's the power that does things. Did you hear that? Words are not just sound. Words are energy, words are power, and they do things. Words accomplish. Bible says that God, when He got ready to heal His people, He said He sent His Word and He healed them. He said, my Word would not return unto me void, but it would accomplish what I sent it forth to do. A centurion came to Jesus and said, you know, will you come and will you heal my servant? Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, oh, you don't have to come. I understand who you are. I know what authority is, and I'm under authority, and I know that you have authority, so you don't have to come to my house. All you got to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And in that same hour, the Bible says, when Jesus spoke the word, his servant was healed. A poet named Will Carleton wrote this poem. Boys flying kites haul in their white wing birds. You can't do that way with your flying words. Careful with fire is good advice to know. But careful with words is 10 times doubly so. Thoughts unexpressed may sometimes fall back dead, but God Himself can't kill them once they're said. Whew. Thoughts unexpressed, and hopefully we will deal with them enough they won't be said. My thoughts of, I just want to give Him a piece of my mind and tell Him not to blow a horn at my granddaughter and my daughter ever again. But that thought unexpressed dies. But the words that are said, even God Himself can't kill. Now let me tell you what John meant when he said, in the beginning was the Word. That Word is the Logos. It's the Word of God and the reason of God. It's the Word and the reasoning of God. The Word of God and the wisdom of God are the same thing. There's no difference. There's no difference. And he said, and in this Word, this in the beginning, this Word that was with God and was God and was created, and all things were created by Him. And His life, listen to it, His life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness just couldn't figure it out. That was good, wasn't it? You see, when you walk in darkness, you can't figure this thing out. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness couldn't comprehend it. It couldn't figure it out. It didn't understand what was going on. Negativity never can. Darkness never can. In Him was life, and His life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. He came into His own received Him not. But as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, who were born not of flesh nor the will of men, but were born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What that means, when He said that His life became the light of men, it's the opposite of destruction, condemnation, and death. And when we're born not of the flesh, He says in the New International Version, children were born not of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but are born of God. You see, people have been looking for years for aliens. How many of them watch that every now and then? You get excited about it. You know, was there really a spaceship scene over here? Are there really aliens? Well, let me tell you, there are aliens everywhere. This church is filled this morning with aliens. You and I are aliens, because we're born not of a natural, but a spiritual. And now you know, now I know you're saying, now I know why my husband's so weird. He's an alien. No wonder. He's an alien. Or she's an alien. Or probably you're thinking about your kids and going, I knew they weren't from this world. These are alien kids. They're different. You see, Paul said that. He says, we're not of this world. We're not of this world. We're aliens living in a strange world. We're aliens that have come to this planet to bring the goodness of God here. And we've come to replace everything that's bad with everything that's good. And when the church wakes up and realizes we're not here to call out sin, we're here to call out righteousness and joy and peace in people's lives. We're not called out to shine a floodlight on everything that's going wrong. We're called out to shine a floodlight on everything that's going right. And we come to talk about the goodness of God and the glory of God, because it's the kindness of God that brings men to repentance. And it's the goodness of God that Christ came to show. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. We ought to be able to, the church should be able to say, you've seen us, you've seen Christ. You've seen me, you've seen Christ. Because I emanate his love, his glory, his goodness. Oh, I have the moments where I don't want to. I have the moments when I'd rather not. My flesh was crying out, but my spirit was saying, shut up. You said, Beard, shoot, don't stop. Kids are in there. They've heard much worse than that. I'm glad the Holy Spirit sometimes just says, run. Zip it. Just zip it. God said that to Job one time. He said, Job, hush. Just hush. You don't know what you're saying. And just so you know that you don't know what you're saying, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I flung the stars out in space and I've called them each by name? Where were you when I told the proud waves, you can come this far, but you can't go any further? Where were you every single day when the tides change and the ebbs come in and they go out? Who causes all that to be? Who causes everything in space to just hang on my word? How does all of this transpire after God really got through rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat with Job? Job said, Job, hush your mouth. And then Job says at the end, I have heard you, but now I see with my eyes the goodness of the Lord. We can say it, but it's so wrong. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me. It's such a lie. The most powerful thing. I want to read in closing a few passages of Scripture, because this is about, I want you to hear me when I read this. I'm going to change a word here and there, and I'm not doing ill to the Scriptures at all, because the Word of God and the wisdom of God is the same thing. The Word of God and the wisdom of God and the reasoning of God is the same thing. Because His Word is His reasoning and His Word is His wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Good words. The man who gains understanding. She's more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand and in her left hand of riches and honor. What is that? In her words, in her wisdom, in her reasoning. It's more valuable than anything on the planet. You know what Jesus said about you, that you were so valuable? We call them the kingdom parables in Matthew 13. And one of the parables said, the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure buried in a field. And he goes and he sells everything he's got and he buys that field. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. And when a man finds that pearl, he sells everything he has and he buys that pearl. Well, the treasure that was buried in the earth that Jesus found is you. And he sold everything he's got to buy you. He gave everything he's got to purchase you. You are the pearl of great price that he sold out of everything he had. He sold out of heaven. He left heaven. He left his throne. He left his glory. He left it all, become you, so that you could become him. Get wisdom. Get good words. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it costs you all. Get understanding. She will be a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say. Then one more passage. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Besides the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You are simple. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right, and my mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. Wow. What would happen if a body, if a people, if a church rised up and decided that they would speak the words of God and not their own words? They'd find themselves suppressing words that ought not to be spoken, and seeing how much better life is by suppressing just that moment. And maybe I was comical and it was funny. But what if? What would have happened? Because my first thought was to tap on the window and say, "You got a problem?" And had I gotten to that part and tapped on the window, a window would have rolled down and two pastors would have gazed at each other's eyes. That would have been one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. I would have embarrassed him. I would have embarrassed me. And the only thing that bypassed it was a little voice inside that says from time to time, a lot of times, be still, be still. You don't always have to say anything. You don't always have to speak. It just doesn't have to be. I'm glad that Christ showed us how to speak the right words at the right time. The Bible talks about what encouraging words are all about. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to its hearers. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Guard my eyes, O Lord, for what I see. Guard my mouth for what I speak. Guard my ears for what I hear. Guard my heart for how I think. Oh God, help us to come to the place where we don't feel like we always have to give our opinion. As I said a few weeks ago, the next time somebody says, "Let me give you my 2 cents worth," I don't want 2 cents worth of opinion. If that's all it's worth, who wants it? Who wants it? The fact of the matter is most of the time, it's worth about 2 cents, if it's worth anything. Christ came, the Word, the wisdom of God came to dwell in you. For what? So that heaven would not be above the clouds, but just beyond the fear. So heaven wouldn't be just beyond the clouds, but for us to find here. In case you don't know, Garth Brooks sung that song, in case you didn't pick up the voice. Stand together for a moment. We're going to be preparing for communion. We have family communion on this Christmas day and encourage you. You'll be directed in a few moments to just come and to kneel. There'll be some songs being sung during it, but eldership would like to serve you and your family communion and just bless you for this next year. Maybe pray over you. How many would like to just have be blessed? If that's all we're going to do, I promise you, all we're going to do down here is bless. We're instructed from God of the universe to bless people. And that's what we're going to do. So as they're coming, I'm going to pray over the elements. And if you can't make it to the altar, someone would be glad to come and serve you communion. But Father, we sanctify today this time together. We sanctify these elements. This is your body. This is your blood. And as we receive it today, Lord, we receive it with a gratefulness and a gratitude for what Jesus came to do, why he came to this earth. Lord, it's to bring heaven here and for us to see the glory of God cover this land and cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. We thank you for that and we give you praise for it in Christ's name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby
What child is this who lays to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, Son of Mary. Why lies he in such meanly state, where oxen donkeys are feeding? Good Christians feel for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. Man's spear shall be the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, on peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts raise, raise a song high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of the babe, the Son of Mary.
Strong.
Our dear Savior's birth.
in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt his wound. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new
of our service. And they're going to start, but then about midway through, we want you to stand and join in. And you can make the determination when you want to stand at that point. We started the service with Silent Night. We're going to end the service with Silent Night. Because God is so good, and all really is so bright.
I talked with Dale Nyman this morning, and for those who might not know, Ronnie, your husband, had a heart attack the first of the week, and he is in the hospital. He's in critical care unit. And I called and I asked, I said, Dale, how do you want us to pray? I want to get the whole congregation to pray this morning. She said, Pastor, I want a miracle. And I said, well, that's what we'll pray for. We'll pray for a miracle. And so I want you to just join hands with someone close next to you. Dale last Sunday was Santa Claus for all the kids that came to get their presents from Angel Tree. And he's just a great, great guy. Both of them are just great people. They've been here for a long, long time. And so, Father, we join our hands together as a sign of unity of faith for our brother and our sister. And God, you are a God of miracles. And we ask you, Lord, to do what only you can do. Lord, a heart that needs, Lord, a total, just a new heart. We just ask you, Lord, to touch his body. Lord, to just cause healing, just to accelerate, and just wonderful good things come out of this. We give you thanks for it and praise for it. In Christ's holy name, amen. As you're going out, Ralph and Francis have gifts for you again this year. If you are a male or a female adult. And the kids, there's something for you out there too. But it's a great gift. I'm telling you, you want to pick it up. If you don't pick it up, I'm going to get it. God bless.